this is a very complicated issue, just like everything in Moldova. Therefore, it will be important to remind the listeners of this conversation about the basics. Why is it complicated? Because there was a very odd decision of the Constitutional Court back in March to have these direct elections. And the reason and the purpose of this complicated decision was to avoid parliamentary elections that the people demanded. It was a devilishly smart move from the holders of power. And therefore, some people like the Communist Party even boycotted these elections. It was a big dilemma. Others participated, but we have to remember that this has been a replacement of what the public wanted, a parliamentary election in a country which is a parliamentary democracy. So I saw Mark Tkachuk ironically congratulating Mr. Plahotniuc on Facebook, and I understand his sentiments because, again, this has been a quite manipulative process. So that is number one. Number two, I was very pleased to see a candidate emerging who takes the most important problem of Moldova as the most important problem, and that is governance, and that is corruption and corrupt, organized corruption in governance. This is a country where from the banking system, 10% of the national income has been stolen, which is a world record. In some ways, unfortunately, Moldova, being a poor country, also suffers the largest, proportionately largest robbery of its citizens. And I have to say that I have been very impressed by the very consequential and very honest campaign by Maia Sandu, who really exemplifies good governance and European values. And without much resources and with against administrative resources, she has achieved a very impressive result. I also have to say that it's regrettable that there is Mr. Plahotniuc made Mr. Lupu to step back formally on behalf of Maia Sandu, but clearly the television channels that Mr. Plahotniuc controls supported vehemently Mr. Dodon, and in a very, very unfair manner, portraying Maia Sandu something that she is not. Kind of ridiculous claims of inviting refugees. And of course, half of the population in Moldova living in the countryside consumes this kind of false news. So it has been a complex thing, but the positive thing is that with Maia Sandu, with Andrei Năstase, clear, strong political movement has emerged that wants to cure Moldova's biggest disease, and that is rampant centrally organized corruption.
Domnule Mijei, despre viitorul relațiilor dintre Republica Moldova și Uniunea Europeană, ce ne puteți spune dacă se va încerca o apropiere mai strânsă de Federația Rusă? Cum se va comporta Bruselul cu puterea de la Chișinău?
From what I have said, Valentina, before, it is clear that when it comes to geopolitics and politics without the Virgil, there is an interesting link, and that is that European values are such that, in my book, have been represented very consequentially by Maia Sandu. I have to say that I haven't seen a politician like her in Moldova until now at all, with such strong values and with such a courage. And obviously, so there is one thing to declare European orientation, and the other is to live by it. And the problem in the last 6 years has been that the government has put a European banner up above their head, but they did not live with these European values. So that is very important. As far as now Russia is concerned, obviously Russians have supported Mr. Dodon, whom I know and I worked well with in my time as EU special representative. But some of his slogans have been really catered to the Russian-speaking audience and to Russia, such as the confederation or federalization of Moldova, along the line of almost confederative principles, and particularly, of course, the pronouncement about Crimea, which were very unfortunate and very inappropriate. But of course, when somebody is governing, then things become very much more difficult. Now, the president in Moldova is not really participating much in economic governance. So the presidency actually allows people to have slogans that don't need a practical realization. So we will see how Mr. Dodon is going to use this platform. It's a relatively weak presidency by constitution and also by the matters of political configurations. And another factor, of course, in this EU-Russia geopolitical angle is that the EU is by far a bigger market than Russia's, as well as the so-called Eurasian Economic Community, and by far is a more generous donor than anybody else. Russia is not a donor at all. In fact, what Russia is contributing to Moldova is taking away value by politically motivated economic boycotts.
Ce rol ar putea să joace președintele în soluționarea problemei transnistrene?
Of course, here there are important issues to watch. Russia is using the Transnistria as a hub to pull in Moldova into its sphere of interest, and we know from the Cossack Memorandum in 2003 that this exactly the federalization principle that Mr. Dodon also was pronouncing is the way to do it. So it's very important that the Republic of Moldova negotiates the Transnistrian issues pragmatically with a full concentration on confidence-building measures, but in a very principled way, following its own interest. And definitely anything like resembling the Cossack Memorandum needs to be avoided. It has to be a very principled negotiation along the line that I think we have been following when I was EU Special Representative, and the European Union has been following ever since, which is far-reaching special status and autonomous decision-making rights to Transnistria, but not the kind of veto powers that the Cossack Memorandum so cunningly was putting into the agreements, the draft agreement.
Ce l-ați sfătuit să facă cel de-al cincilea președinte al Republicii Moldova?
Well, when it comes to the Transnistrian settlement, of course, it has to be a principled negotiating position that has been so far of the Republic of Moldova. On one hand, offering far-reaching autonomy to the Transnistrian region. On the other hand, avoiding all those traps that the Russian side through the Cossack Memorandum tried to install, and of course continuing the confidence-building measures and even more including the Transnistrian companies and people into the benefits of the association agreement visa-free regime that Moldova has with the European Union. And really, in this Transnistrian process, the low-level people-to-people contacts are also important. So there, I would rather like to see less standalone presidential activity. When it comes to other issues, I would like to see, and I think with Maia Sandu, I would have seen, and we would have seen, a strong advocacy for the kind of governance reform that the European Union also advocates. That is a clean government, that is really independent, well-paid judiciary, and independent prosecution rather than what we are having now. So I also understand that Maia Sandu is going to contest the election results. It has to take its due course. But as far as the president is concerned, what is important is really to be an engine of governance reforms. And of course, what will be very important for Moldova that by 2018, for the parliamentary elections, real robust alternatives emerge for fighting this election for the good of the people. The disappointment of the Moldovans is tremendous after the big hope in 2009 they had and the disappointment. I also have to say, of course, that I feel personally very strongly vindicated that I didn't have much illusions. I always thought that the European Union has to pose very good, tough, pointed conditionalities for its support rather than satisfying itself with the European slogans. And I am very pleased to see that we are going in very strongly in this direction.